first prayer this afternoon or for this meeting about the open heaven. Perhaps the Lord would have us consider a little four occasions when heaven was open. The brother mentioned in his prayer the first occasion when heaven was open in the third chapter of Matthew, 13th verse. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me? Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water. And lo, the heavens were opened unto him. And he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When we think, beloved, of man's sad history, where he had sought in every way to shut out God from his thoughts and from his ways, it was just like heaven had become brass over man's head. And now, I believe I'm correct in saying that for the first time we have heaven open to earth. What a blessed occasion this surely brings before us when God's blessed Son comes to the waters of Jordan to be baptized of John the Baptist. You know, there is much concerning the life of our blessed Lord that curiosity would like to pry into. And some have invented stories to fill in the gap in the Lord's early life down here. But God hasn't been pleased to tell us about the Lord's life as he grew up there in Nazareth. We know about the time that he went to Jerusalem when he was at the age of 12 years. And then he returned with Mary and Joseph and was subject to them. But now he comes out when there has been a work of God's Spirit in working repentance in the hearts of the people of Israel. And you know, whenever there is a work of repentance in the heart of man, that God is always delighted in seeing that work. Indeed, we read in the 15th chapter of Luke these words, There's joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And so we find that all in the land of Judea had come to be baptized of John in Jordan, confessing their sins. What a remarkable sight, surely, to see a nation moved to repentance. Oh, beloved, would to God that there was more of that repentance seen in these days. Well, that's the occasion when God the Father opens heaven. And it's to, in view of that Blessed One. And we learn from these words uttered by the voice of the Father how perfect that life, so hidden from man, was to the heart of his Father above. And that's all we need to know, beloved, of that life where he labored as a carpenter, known as the carpenter's son, in a village where there was poverty, where they were those that were despised. Indeed, one said when told about this man, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" God the Father was looking down at the perfect life of a perfect man. And now when he sees his beloved son identify himself with that repentant remnant, God can withhold no longer his delight. So we hear his voice from that open heaven as he says, "This is my beloved son." And the better translation of those words are these, "In whom I have found all my delight." Isn't it marvelous to think, after all man's history of failure, every man has come short of the glory of God, that there came a time when God could see a perfect man in this world below. And doubtless the reason why the Father would speak of his son in this way, because one might think, well, if the Lord was baptized when John was baptizing with the baptism of repentance, here was God's son below, and yet he needed to repent himself. Oh, God will never permit, he will never allow anything that will bring the slightest dishonor or discredit upon that blessed one. And so the Father declares that here is one in whom he has found all his delight. And how marvelous, beloved, that the object of heaven is down here in this sea, in this world. Here was a man here on earth that all heaven was occupied with. The object of heaven is down here. I believe the brother in his prayer also mentioned about Stephen in the book of Acts, the sixth chapter, or the seventh chapter, seventh of Acts and the 54th verse. "And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord, cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. When he had said this, he fell asleep." Now we have heaven opened again. But oh, beloved, the heaven is not in this poor world. The object of heaven is up there in glory. What a story it tells of this world's rejection of that one who came in infinite love into this poor world, went about doing good and healing all that were possessed of the devil, for God was with him, blessing man wherever he went. And yet all the gratitude, or the rather the ingratitude that this world showed to that blessed one was to crown him with thorns and spit in his face and nail him to the cross. God has taken that blessed one out of this scene of his suffering and rejection and seated him and crowned him with glory on high at his own right hand. Beloved, the object of God's affection is no longer here below, but it's up there where Christ has taken the crown, where he's seated now in glory above. And now he has sent down God the Holy Spirit to gather out a bride for that coming glory where our forerunner has gone before. Oh, beloved, may our souls enter into the preciousness of the work of the Spirit, preparing us to share the glory of that rejected, woe exalted man who is now the object of all heaven. And a marvelous fact, beloved, that a man is in the glory of God now. We see a perfect man below. Here, the object of God the Father looking down. Now we see that same glorified man up there. And beloved, the Spirit of God in wondrous grace has won your heart and my heart to that blessed one, so that we have accepted him as our Lord and Savior. We found that which has given us peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that through his work at Calvary, our sins, our many sins, are all forgiven. That there's nothing between us and that blessed one that can hinder us from enjoying his love. I say as far as that which fits us for glory is concerned. Of course, there is another matter, and that is of allowing anything in our lives that breaks our communion and enjoyment of his presence as we go on with that glory before our souls. So let's be watchful that we do not allow anything to go on unjudged that hinders our enjoyment of his blessed presence. It's often been said and can be often repeated, keep short accounts with God. That is when we fail, because we all fail, beloved. Just as James tells us that in many things we all offend. Let's never set ourselves up to be better than our brethren, because we're all poor, failing creatures. And we make lots of mistakes. But beloved, it isn't the fact that we make mistakes that gets us on the wrong course that leads to such sorrow and distress and perhaps defiles others too. It's the unwillingness to judge ourselves when we have failed. Let's always be willing to get down before the Lord and have a tender conscience to allow nothing to go on that is dishonoring to him, but lets us judge. You know, beloved, that the only way that our blessed Lord could wash the feet of the disciples that at the feast of the Passover was by getting down in the lowest way that he could get down before his disciples. laid aside his garments, then he washed the disciples' feet. And let's remember, beloved, that the only way that you and I can be restored when out of communion is the humiliation of that Blessed One. Indeed, it cost him that humiliation, that going to the cross, that suffering the untold judgment of God to fit us for the presence of and make us his children. And it takes his humiliation to restore us and to cleanse us so we can go on in the enjoyment of his presence. We find in Stephen a man full of the Holy Ghost. And beloved, what is it that has transpired when one is full of the Holy Spirit? It certainly isn't self-occupation. For self-occupation only turns our hearts away from that one that the Father is occupied with. Oh, it's full occupation with Christ. And I say again, may we allow nothing in our lives that hinders our full enjoyment of his blessed presence. And if there's anything that we can consider that is not right in the sight of the Lord, may we judge that thing with an unsparing hand, not allow it to go on, so that we might be like this dear man of God, who, filled with the Holy Ghost, looks up into that open heaven and sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Now here we have brought before us the assurance as to where a child of God departs in the event of death. For to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Oh, how beautiful, and yet in a way how simple it all is. Scripture doesn't give us confusing, mystifying thoughts. It brings everything with clearness before our souls. And so here is a man, just like any other one that God has chosen, looking up and seeing an open heaven and seeing Christ standing at the right hand of God. And then we find that he departs. He says, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Well, the spirit is that part of our being, you know, that is eternal in its duration. The animal has a soul, but he has no spirit, and we divide the triune being of man. The spirit of man is that which has a definite connection with God. And his spirit departs. The Blessed One who is waiting there in glory to receive him. Oh, what a comfort for those who have been bereaved of their loved ones to think of that Blessed One waiting there above to receive their loved ones into his presence. There he was standing to receive his faithful servant who had borne such a glorious witness for him. He's waiting there to receive his spirit. Devout men carry Stephen to his burial, for God has wonderful things spoken of in connection with the body. For you know when man fell, he fell body, soul, and spirit. And when God provides a remedy, he doesn't provide a remedy that short of man's need. And the work of Christ would not be complete without the resurrection of the body. And so the body is laid away to wait for that glorious resurrection day when soul, when spirit and soul and body are all united. And then in full rapture to be with and like that blessed one, even in bodies of glory, like unto his glorious body. Well, that suggests another subject in the fourth chapter of Revelation. Fourth chapter of Revelation and verse 1. After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And then he tells us, after describing the throne, and round about the throne, verse 4, the 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. They had on their heads crowns of gold. Rather striking that at the end of the third chapter we find Christ standing at the door, knocking in the 20th verse of chapter 3, saying, If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. So when we find the door closed, man's heart door closed to Christ below, we find next thing, the door opened in heaven to receive his redeemed ones above. I believe that this is the way the Spirit of God brings the promise of the Lord's coming before us in the book of Revelation. We get the history of the church set forth in the addresses to the seven churches. But it's given there as to man's responsibility. And when man's responsibility is in question, man is a complete failure. And you couldn't then bring in the coming of the Lord for the church. That would be out of order. So the only way the Spirit of God brings his coming before us is in connection with this door opened in heaven and the voice saying, Come up hither. Well, beloved, we're waiting for that event when we shall hear the voice of that Savior. We've heard it in a certain way in our souls when those words were spoken to our hearts, when he said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We heard that voice, so sweet, so precious in our souls. But the day is coming when we're going to hear the very voice of that one who has wrought such peace in our souls. We're going to hear him, as it were, say, Come up hither. Oh, when we think, beloved, of the state of things in this poor world and how rapidly it's going on, yes, downward course, how that every moral principle is being given up, and the dark war cloud going, settling over this doomed scene. Oh, what a comfort for us to think of that time when we'll hear his voice saying, Come up hither. Then, instead of here in this scene of his rejection, You'll be in the scenes of His glory. That's what we're waiting for, beloved. May the Spirit of God keep that event fresh and frighten our souls. May we be like those that not only wait for their Lord, but like those that are watching for the first sound of His voice, so that when He cometh and knocketh, we may throw open the door immediately. Nothing between us and that glorious event, but just waiting and listening and longing for His return. Now there's just one more place where open heaven is mentioned that comes to my mind, and that's in the second chapter of John, or the first chapter of John. It's in connection with what the Lord said to Nathanael when He owns Jesus in the 49th verse in this way. Nathanael answered and said unto Him, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Well, that was in keeping with what we read in the second Psalm, where you get the Lord spoken of as being put on the throne of Zion, and where God owns Him as His Son. But then you read in the portion, Jesus answered verse 50. And said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou shalt see greater things than these. And he said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. That's the eighth Psalm. For in the eighth Psalm, you get the Son of Man put His head over all things. And that brings us into a wider range of glory than even in connection with His title as Son of God, because that gave Him the throne of David, exalted Him in Zion. But all Zion's hill was not high enough for the one who had done all the Father's will. We might just read then in that eighth Psalm, a verse or two, this, see how His exaltation is set before us there. It begins, O Jehovah, our Lord, our Adonai, how excellent is Thy name in all the earth. Who hast set Thy glory above the heavens. And then you get in the fourth verse, What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor, and made him to have dominion over all the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. There's His exaltation over the whole vast creation. And we get a lovely thought here in connection, that is in this last verse of the first chapter of John, in connection with His glory as Son of Man. For Jesus says, Thou shalt see greater things than these. He said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We're right back to Jacob's dream. You know, poor Jacob, a wanderer with a stone for a pillow, saw in his dream God in heaven and the angels a ladder stretching to heaven, and the angels going up and down on this ladder. And then he was promised those blessings connected with the earth God promised to Jacob and his seed. Well, now we have the man, the Son of Man, is the one who is there glorified. And we have heaven and earth connected now, the angels ascending between heaven and earth. And that looks right on, beloved, to after we have been translated to glory, as we saw in the fourth chapter of Revelation, when the voice has called us up there to be in his presence, then the time's coming when that one who was rejected and only wore the crown of thorns to all is going to be exalted, and all heaven and earth will be united together in blessing under his name and title as Son of Man. Oh, think of it, beloved. A man, and all connected with him.